Well, good morning, church. So good to be with you this morning as we come to worship our God. I'm excited to be able to bring the word to you this morning as we continue in our two-week series, Justified, Now What? Last week, we took a look at what does it mean to be justified by faith. We also took an opportunity to look at that very important verse in Romans chapter 5, where it goes from rejoice in the glory of God, and then the second one, rejoice in suffering. And that's a hard thing to do, and I shared a little bit of my testimony with you. And I've heard such an amazing response from so many people throughout the week sharing of how God has worked in their own lives, how they've learned to rejoice in their sufferings, because our God has the victory. Our God has won, and our God will never leave us or forsake us. And so many testimonies have come to light. I want to encourage you that if you have one of those testimonies, we have a glory sightings wall now. So I encourage you, go out here on the left wall. If you haven't seen that yet, there's a bunch on there already. Take a second, read those glory sightings, write one on there. Let's be a church who gives God all the glory he is so deserving of when we see him at work in our lives, in the life of our church, and in the life of our community. What a blessing it is to come, and an honor it is to bring the word of God before you this morning. Pastor Yosmar continues to be on vacation, and so I will be preaching again this morning, but he will be back on Tuesday. We are continuing, real quick here. I have the wrong sermon up on my iPad, so I am going to do it old school today. I was like, I said that last week. That's not what we're talking about. All right. Well, with that being said, I'm going to grab this. I'm going old school. All right. So recently, I celebrated my 33rd birthday, and birthdays can be a special day, right? They honor the person. You get presents most of the time. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that doesn't normally make a big deal about their birthday. Like, I don't want to have a lot of attention. I actually have gone on social media and changed my birthday on social media, so that I don't get all the messages on my birthday, because I don't want to be hogged up with my time. I just want to focus on that day. And so one of the things I always do is I take that day off of work. I've done that my whole life, whether it was back when I was in high school working at Target or later on working in church ministry. I've always taken my birthday off. That's the one thing I don't want to do on my birthday is work. And so the thing about birthdays is you get presents. And when you have presents, like we have some up here, they're normally what? Wrapped. They got some nice wrapping paper on them. I had some of the after-school kids wrap these for them. They did a fantastic job. And we're going to get back to those in just a second. But presents normally come with wrapping paper. And I've been one who's never really enjoyed wrapping paper. I think wrapping paper is kind of the hallmark holiday of presents. It's just there to make you spend more money. It may also be because I'm horrible at wrapping presents and they look awful when I do it. So, if you ever get a gift from me, just know it will not be wrapped. It will be in a box or a bag. Angel knows this because most of hers come in boxes or bags. But there's great joy and excitement that comes from getting gifts and opening a present and ripping off that paper and realizing what's underneath. Sometimes we get what we really want. Sometimes we ask for those things. Sometimes we don't get them. Sometimes we get things that we don't want, but we need. This year, Angel got me one of each, a want and a need. She took me shopping because she knows how much I despise wrapping paper, and she got me a new pair of shoes, and which I'm notoriously bad about getting for myself. I've been going 2 years with the same pair of shoes. And she also got me this Apple Watch, which we have both been trying to be healthier, to be more active, to eat healthier, and to lose some weight. And so these have been things that have been very useful to me in that journey. But whatever the present may be, there's a truth about it. It's meant to be used. It's meant to be played with, appreciated, used, whatever it may be. So unless you're like me, or the people who save the wrapping paper, do you, anybody here save wrapping paper? Oh no, there's more of you, you're multiplying. I can understand bows or ribbons, but oh, the wrapping paper. Rip the wrapping paper and throw it away. This morning, we are in Romans chapter 6, and I think this idea of wrapping paper and presents will help us understand the point that Paul is trying to make. And so before we get into that, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word. I pray that it would be your word spoken, not mine. That as we read Romans chapter 6, that your word would go deep into our hearts, that we would not forget it, that we would apply it to our lives, and we would see you at work in and through us to make your kingdom great. Pray this all in your son's holy name. Amen. So our scripture for today is in Romans chapter 6. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. And as you're doing that, go ahead and stand if you're able for the reading of God's holy word. And there will be a section that is underlined if you will read that with me. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let no sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Last week, we saw how when we put our faith in Jesus, no matter our circumstances, sufferings, joys, or failures, we are justified just as if we had never sinned before God. Though we are saved by grace through faith because of Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection. And while this is fantastic news that we need to live into, we can often apply it incorrectly in our lives. Paul very quickly addresses this misapplication without mincing any words. Does this mean, since we are forgiven of all sins, we can keep on sinning? And he says, by no means. What does Paul say at the beginning of Romans chapter 6? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can one who has died to sin still live in it? Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Again, Paul uses very strong but very clear language here. When we are accepting the gift, when we are accepting the gift of new life in Christ, our old selves are thrown off like wrapping paper. It's thrown away. And we begin to use the gift of new life in Christ. How many of you have ever watched a baby or a toddler open a present and they are fascinated with the wrapping paper more than they are with the present itself? We too can be like babies or toddlers sometimes with the gift of Jesus, the new life that he gives us, and the freedom of sin. We're more focused on that wrapping paper than we are the gift that he's given us. We still want to be in the sin than we want to be in the new life. As we talked about last week, when we put our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, we are justified, which means we no longer are slaves to sin in our bodies or to the sin of this world. We're no longer slaves to lying, stealing, gossip, boasting, lack of self-control, anger, hateful words, bullying, violence, lust, addiction, disobedience, all of it. In Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no sin that he has not conquered, that he has not paid for, or that God is not willing to forgive you for. However, Paul quickly clarifies that this does not mean that we can keep on sinning and living in our sin and in our old lives. The problem is, a lot of times we get caught up in this wrapping paper of sin and we forget about the present. We get caught up in the sin, the way it makes us feel, the excuses that everyone does it, everyone struggles with something, that God forgives me, so it's no big deal. We can minimize our sin because of God's great love. But why shouldn't we do this? Why? What is the reason, and what does it matter? I'm glad you asked. In Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, we find the answer. For if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer has dominion over him. The penalty for sin is death. Christ, being raised from the dead and never die again, death has no dominion over him. Sin has no dominion over him, and we live with him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why can we no longer live in sin, habitual sin, without repentance? Why can we no longer keep on sinning and act like nothing has changed? Because we have been united with Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, we have been united with him. And his death, meaning that we claim his death, his physical and spiritual death, the penalty for our sin that we should have paid, Christ pays. And just like Christ, because he has been raised from the dead, he will never die again. And death does not have dominion over him. So we too will live with him with dominion over sin and over death. Just like justification is one declarative act, this is a once and for all act that Christ did so that we can continue. So when we continue to habitually sin, when we do that without repentance and still try and claim Christ, we make a mockery of his sacrifice. I'll say that again because I kind of mince my words a little bit. So when we continue to habitually sin without repentance while claiming Christ, we make a mockery of his sacrifice. And that may sound like a really strong statement, but John says it even stronger in 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Wow. This isn't just a God forgives me moment. This is, if you keep on sinning without repentance, without confession, without a desire to rid yourself of it, John says you have never seen or known him. John is saying, if we are stuck in sin, how can we even claim to have seen or know Christ, let alone abide or be united with him? The transformative work of Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives is beyond our comprehension. Paul says, you have died to sin. I love this phrase. Why? Because without Christ, when death occurs, that's it. That's the end. They or it is gone. There's a finality to it. And what does this mean for us? Since we still live in our fallen bodies, we occasionally will sin. We will fall short. We will make mistakes. We will fall to temptation. You can count on that. But what Paul and John and Christ are declaring here is that sin is no longer your master. You are no longer its slave. You have power over it. You have the ability to repent and to claim Christ's forgiveness. All the lies of the enemy, all the shame of sin, all the guilt, and all the power of sin is gone. Think about the wrapping paper for a moment. Sure, it may look pretty at first and enticing, but on the inside, it's bland and bare. And when it's torn off, it rips. It crinkles. And unless you've done it in a much more nice way, it's not usable anymore. It becomes worthless. We quickly realize that we no longer care about the wrapping paper. We realize that it was just keeping us from the true gift. And sure, sin can be enticing. Sure, we can think it looks pretty, fun, or exciting. But sin has a goal, and its goal is to keep us from Christ, to keep us from God, to separate us, to hold us captive. But Christ says, once you put faith in me, you have ripped that wrapping paper and you see the gift that I offer, why would you dig back into the trash for that worthless piece of paper? It makes no sense. Trust me, I've used this Apple Watch every single day since getting it, but I know where the packaging is, and I'm pretty sure it's in a landfill already. Why? Because the packaging is worthless now that I have the watch. So when we read Romans 6, 12 through 14, we see the call to action. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So what's the call to action? Let no sin reign. No sin. We as Christians, as Christ followers, will struggle with temptation and the action of sinning, but here Paul makes it clear that we are to not have any sin reign in our mortal bodies. What does that mean? What does it mean to have sin reign? What's the difference between the action of sin and sin reigning? Josmar talks about it from the idea of falling into sin and planning to sin. I like to think about it from the standpoint that when sin reigns, it's become comfortable. It no longer tears me up inside. Or even if I feel guilty or shame afterwards, I know that I'm going to do it again. I haven't made a plan to remove it from my life, to cut it out, to repent from it. Where we have become prisoners to its passions. That we have become addicted to it. That we shouldn't present our bodies available to it for sinful thoughts and actions. Instead, we present our whole selves to God, realizing His desires are good, His commands are gracious, and His love for us is great. Hence, why we have been brought from death to life, and now we can use our thoughts and our actions for righteousness instead. The Apple Watch has fitness circles on it. There's three different circles. One is standing, keep you to get up and to stand and be active every hour. The second one is an exercise goal of a certain amount of time, and the third one is of moving calories, calories that you burn from moving. And once you put on the Apple Watch, what I've found is that it highly encourages you to go for that extra walk, to get up a little bit earlier just to fulfill an extra hour of standing. So get up at 6:45 instead of 7:05 because I get an extra hour. Rock on. It means that I can lay in bed an extra hour in the evening. Similarly, with our life in Christ, when we surrender to Him, we begin to desire the desires of God. Our thoughts and our actions should start to align with God's righteousness. So what does this mean for us? Well, we have three action steps that I want us to honestly explore. These will not be easy. They will challenge you in your comfort zone. They will push you in one of the areas that we dislike most as American Christians, and that's being real with one another. As Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light." Action steps number one, examine your heart and repent. Take time this morning, this week, and moving forward to look inward. Is there still sin that has control in your life? And I'm not just talking about the Big Ten. I'm talking about any sin. Sin that people know about, or sin that only you know about. Expose it to the light by identifying it, confessing it to God, and repenting of it. What does repenting mean? It means that I turn from it. Maybe you've been holding on to jealousy, constantly comparing your life to others. This week, get alone with God. Admit it honestly in prayer. God, I have been envious, and it's stealing my joy. Ask Him to forgive you and take a step towards freedom. Delete an app that, you know, maybe it's you're jealous as you're looking on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and you're seeing what other people have. Delete that. Start each day by thanking God for what you have. When you feel the jealousy take over again, identify it. God, I am feeling jealous. God, I do not want to feel jealous. God, forgive me for my jealousy and help me to have joy instead. Examine your heart. This is one example. All of us are going to be different. For me, the one that I continue to struggle with, just being real and honest with you, is anger. It's a genetic thing that I have in my family. My brother, my dad, my sister, my mom, we all struggle with lashing out in our anger. My dad, growing up, was a yeller. And that freaked me out. But I know that I have the tendencies to do the same. And if I'm not careful, I can let that rule my body. And so I've told God, I do not want to be an angry person. I do not want to let my anger rule and control my actions. God, I repent of my sinful actions. Not the anger, not the emotion itself, because there's rightful and justified anger, and it's an emotion. But when I take that and allow it to control my actions and control who I am and to sin out of it, it's not okay. So dig deep. Where does sin still have control in your life? Number two, seek reconciliation with others. Has your sin hurt those around you? Bring it to light. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness and pursue reconciliation, redemption, reconnection. I think this is something that is lost in the church. It's lost in our Christian walk. And that is asking for forgiveness out loud. It's something that I have been working on for a while. Probably about 8 years ago, God laid it on my heart. You are not asking for forgiveness. You are not apologizing for your actions. You might say, I'm sorry, but you are not apologizing. You're not asking for forgiveness. You're not confessing what you did wrong. Get in the habit of doing that. And so I took that to heart. And so I will ask for forgiveness. I had to do it to Angel yesterday. Because I fell in the kitchen. And I thought she had done an action that caused me to fall in the kitchen, but she hadn't. So I blamed her for it. In my anger, because I hurt my toe. I still think I broke my pinky toe. So I'm angry. And I lashed out in it. So about 5 minutes later, what do I have to do? Angel, I'm sorry I blamed you for my actions. I'm sorry that I wrongly accused you. Will you forgive me? This is the difference between falling into sin and letting sin reign in your bodies. Because it could have been very easy for me to fall, be hurt, be grumpy the rest of the day, and just not talk to Angel anymore. That would have let sin rule in my body. But instead, we're able to heal the wound and to move forward. Number three, live out God's ways. Dig into Scripture and start listening and start listing all the righteous ways of God. And use that list to guide your actions. Because remember, there was a sermon I did not that long ago, maybe a year ago, and I talked about the difference between or what sin is, right? And sometimes we think about it's just doing bad things, but it's not just that. It's also when we don't do the right thing, the thing we know we ought to do. And so when God lists out what we should do, how we should act, what our thoughts should be on, do we obey that, or do we just feel like it's a suggestion? As you read this week, write down things like, God is patient, God is just, God defends the weak. Then choose one of those things, let's say patient, and live it out. When someone cuts you off in traffic, be patient. Or your kids, your grandkids frustrate you, be patient. Take a deep breath and respond with grace instead of anger. Church, sin, our wrongdoings, our failures, our mistakes, our disobedience to God's righteousness continues to create a barrier between us and the Father. But because we have been justified by God through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be set free from the power, the addiction, the enticing nature of sin. And instead, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and spiritual discipline, we experience sanctification, becoming holy as God is holy, seeking what is right instead of what is wrong, modeling after Christ instead of others, and removing any sinful foothold that lingers. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. What sin do you continue to struggle with? To allow power in your life. And to feel that you will never overcome. Bring it to the light. Share your struggle with God. Share your struggle with others. Church, we are not perfect. I am not perfect. And we should not shame each other for our struggles, but rather help each other to do what Christ calls us to do, confess our sin, ask for forgiveness, repent, live in the freedom of Christ, and be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I thank you that even though in a moment you declare us justified, you are not done working in our lives. You continue to sanctify us day after day to make us more like Christ, to remove piece by piece the sin footholds that are in our hearts and are in our minds and in our bodies. God, help us to continue to lay those over to you and say, God, I don't want these to have power in my life anymore. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore in my life. Remove it from me. And when I fall, when I am tempted, when I mess up, may I be quick to repent. May I be quick to ask for forgiveness from you, Father, and from others. And may I quickly turn to righteousness. We pray this all in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Please remain seated as I invite the ushers to come down for the offering. We will sing hymn number 383, This is a Day of New Beginnings.
few quick announcements for us, church, before we hear our benediction. First, Mount Mission is today. So if you have things that you want to donate to Mount Missions, don't forget to drop those off tonight between 5 and 6:30. Also, if you're willing or able to help kind of unload some cars, we are looking for some more people to help out with that. Again, that's from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Also, our backpack drive is going.
You guys had a great response week one on that. I think there's only 18 left to go. There's probably less of those even now. So let's finish strong. Those are out in the lobbies. Pick those up, and those are going to be returned next Sunday, the 27th. Barnabas is starting. If you don't know what Barnabas is, it is an opportunity for us to support those who have recently graduated high school, going into college, or their next steps. And so we can send them notes, small gifts, and there is a sign-up in the Friday email, so be on the lookout for that if you're interested in supporting. It's a great ministry, a great opportunity to love on some of our wonderful kiddos here at St. John as they take the next steps. And then finally, this coming Saturday, July 26th, is our prayer vigil from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. A lot of the spots have been signed up. There's a spot out here in the lobby to sign up if you haven't. And even if all the spots are taken, go ahead and just sign up or feel free to show up. And let's be a praying church. You can also sign up on the app or submit a prayer on the app. And there's also stations out here to submit prayer requests so we can be praying for one another. Church, these are our announcements, but now let's move to our benediction and hear this prayer as we go. As you go, remember this. You have died to sin and have been raised with Christ. Walk now in the newness of life, not as one bound by the old self, but as one made alive to God through Jesus. Do not let sin reign in your body, but present yourself to God, holy and set apart, instruments of his righteousness. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ empower you, the love of the Father sustain you, and the presence of the Holy Spirit guide you until sin is no longer your master and Christ is clearly your King. Go in grace and peace. Amen.
Stars, holder of seas and all our hearts, artist of life, father of lights, when I'm with you, my soul ignites. You see my sin, but love me the same, breathe on my hurt, and raise me again. Up from the ash, up from the dust, you're recreating will not waste this day you've made. I will be glad. Rejoice. Can it be? I can't explain why you carry me and all my shame. You take my sin and all of the mess as far as the east is from the west. Everything changed. I stand amazed. My every breath is grace. I will not waste this day you've made. I will be glad. Rejoice. The color, life is wonderful.